against the clock. I am going to abridge the message because you understand I was going to preach the entirety of the chapter 119 of Psalms. I'm not kidding. Does anybody here know somebody rich? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever known anybody truly rich. I've probably met some people that are rich. But do you have a Bible with you today? Paper or electronic? Do you have it? If it's within your ability, hold it up. If it's your phone, the Bible with the phone with the Bible on it, you hold your phone up there. Hold that Bible up. Everyone with their hand raised with something in it today, you are among the richest people that have ever lived on this earth. Through all of history, you put it down now. Through all of history, you are some of the richest people that ever have set foot on this planet. Every one of you that has the Word of God in your hand are richer than Solomon ever was. Your riches dwarf Bill Gates. The Tesla man has nothing on you. Because you hold in your hand the most valuable item you can have. It is worth more than houses. It's worth more than cars and trucks and boats and precious metals, including gold. It's worth more than all those things put together. Because you hold the key to life. It is God's Word. It will get you through in trouble. It will get you through. God's Word will get you through to rejoicing. Listen, if you're on top of the world, go to God's Word. If you're perplexed, go to God's Word. If you're afraid, go to God's Word. This Bible, you understand it. 500 years ago, people lived in spiritual poverty because they did not have the Word of God. They couldn't read it. There's only a few places to get it. And they were usually in priest's offices and those kind of things. And so many things had to happen in the 1500s in order for you and I to say, how dare you let one of these things sit on your shelf and never open it day after day. You only stick it in your car on the way to church so you don't look like a piker. My friend, you have the richest mine in the history of everything. And you can go in there and begin to dig out all the precious things that God has for you. This is God's Word. And it is the most valuable thing. That's why you don't mistreat it. That's why you don't put it in the corner and let dust collect on your coffee table. Hallelujah. Because it's a living thing. It's not just dead letters. It's a living, quickening thing. It's the glorious Word of God. And you have it. It's in your possession. Once again, through all of history, including the Old Testament. All the Old Testament. All through the New Testament. He didn't even get the Scriptures canonized until the 300s. But then it was not put out. We had the Dark Ages and all of these, the mess that the world has been in. It's only been since the 1500s that we can begin to say. And then people died for your right to have the Scriptures. Many people died for them. They tried to take it out of the hands of the brethren and the Anabaptists and the pilgrims. The Church of England tried to take it away from them and began to kill their leaders and said, "Fooey on you. Send us away. We love the Word of God more than you, King. We've got something better than the riches of England. Send us all across the sea to a new world and we'll take it with us there." This country was founded by the Word of God. You say, what? The Word of God inspired people to settle this nation. That's why we put the Ten Commandments in school. That's why we hang the Ten Commandments in judges' courts. The reason is, the only reason we have any living is because of the Word of God. The Word of God is trustworthy. You may wonder, Pastor, why do you stress so much about the Word of God? Why do you push the Bible in the contents of it? Because in it is life. There's not real life in a $100 bill, but there's life here. Go someplace where the Word of God is not readily available and see how precious it is. Go to Southern Africa and Zambia, where many people don't have the Bible, any of the Bible in their own language, and watch their lives come alive for the first time they read the book of Mark in their own vernacular. And they see God in those words. And suddenly everything begins to change in their environment, because now the Word of God is there. That's why people like the Saukas have given their entire life over to getting the Word of God, because it's so powerful and it does its job. But most of all, the Word is not an it, it's a Him. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. The second person of the Godhead is the Word. When you hear the Word of God in the Old Testament, it's the second person of the Godhead. He's the Word. It always is. And you can trust every word of Jesus. It is absolutely true. There is no falsehood in it. So the Word is in direct connection with Jesus Christ. So without Jesus, you can't have the Word. The Word of God, Jesus Himself said, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. And the Word of God in you, listen to me, the Word of God in you is so valuable. Because there's not one situation that the Word won't get you through. Amen. See, people who don't read the Bible don't get it. And somebody said, well, I read the Bible once. Once! Once! I always ask you, did you really read the whole Bible? No, I read it one day. Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm going to walk away from my notes, I guess. I'll be tempted. Well, I'll pick it up. But you realize Psalm 119, the longest chapter in your Bible, that it's all about the Word of God. And the Hebrew alphabet that he goes through is all about the Word of God. And I was going to read them all today, but you don't have time. But you ought to look at it. I might preach it again. This Word, yes, it's for reading. Yes, it's for listening to. Because, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is it. Hallelujah. There are no troubles in your life that this will not get you through. I was talking to a chaplain at a criminal psychiatric place in New York. And I asked him, what do you do with these people? Well, when I heard that, okay. And he starts making his little liberal baloney. And I go, sir, why don't you give them Jesus? You know, he's the answer. And he says, well, I am there to figure out the questions. And I told him, I was on the phone, and I said, sir, the answer to every question is the Word of God.
You'll find it. Give them Jesus, who is the Word. Give them the Word. Mega church pastor, give your people the Word. Not your Mickey Mouse made up stuff. Give them the Word. Because there's life in the Word. Everything else has death, but there's life in the Word. Glory to God. You're sick here today. Go to the Word of God. Figure out what He has to say. Listen, God's Word is the final authority on every subject. Did you know that? The President isn't the final authority. The Supreme Court is not the final authority. Your doctor is not the final authority on your health. Your lawyer is not the final authority about your legal doings. The Word of God is your final authority. Get into that thing. Study it night and day. Keep an open Bible around. Keep it in your thoughts all the time. I think it's great that it can be on your iPhone. Because we know you and your iPhone will never be parted. What Apple and you have put together, let no man put asunder. Let panic occur if it should ever happen. You ever get somewhere nowadays and say, where did I leave my phone? I left it home. And you start thinking of all things. What if I break down before I get home? How am I going to contact anybody? Oh, I'm going to do this and that. How am I going to, I hope I don't lose my game progress. Treat the Bible like your phone. Treat the Word of God like your phone, like I've got to have it. And I'll be honest with you folks, and I'm not pumping something up or trying to promote something. I'm not. I am just saying that 5 years ago, God, I felt the Lord telling me, get on Facebook, let it be used for something good except for false reports. Let me caution you folks. Don't believe 99.8% of the stuff you see on Facebook. Somebody just made it up. Of course, I lost the train of thought now. That's why I have notes, people. The elderly need notes. Treat your Bible like it has. You have to have it every day. Well, as I was telling you, 5 years ago, the Lord says, I want you to just go read some scripture on Facebook Live. And I go, because it was COVID and people were separated and stuff. I said, all right, well, I guess I can do that. Not many people join, and I don't care. I'm just being obedient. But let me tell you, reading the Bible out, in the last 5 years, reading the Bible out loud, that's me. I read a chapter out loud on Facebook every day. It does something to you. I've always studied the Bible since I was, when I learned to read, the first thing I learned to read was the Bible. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to read when I die is the Bible, all right? But let me tell you, when you read it out loud every day, I might even suggest that you get alone or not alone. Get your wife or husband with you and read aloud. Read the Word of God aloud so your ears will hear it. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. But man, I hear things that sometimes I don't compute when I'm just reading it. I hear things like, what, really? Is that what really happened? Hallelujah. We have got to learn how to apply God's Word to every situation in our life. What does the Lord have to say about it? Should I go left or right? What does the Lord have to say about it? Let me take a minute here and talk about New Testament prophecy. We've got a lot of so-called prophets, apostles, and whatever out there. Anything coming out of a person's mouth that's prophecy has, if it's legit, has to agree with this. If it is extra biblical, it's not. Extra means if it's outside the Bible's parameters. It's not God. it's somebody else that will out and get into your back pocket. If a prophet comes along or a pastor, as I just heard lately, a pastor tells a young couple that's living together and having relations that it's okay, they're not married, but it's okay. See, that's not prophecy, friends. That's make-believe something. Send people to hell like that. It's not proper. We got to go by this book. You conduct yourself according to the book, according to the authority of God's Word, and it will make you happy. You won't have to compare yourself to some other Joe, some other person, what they got, I want what they got, all that. You won't. You have God's Word. Oh, hallelujah. I've known some of the people that have the smallest bank account are some of the richest people in the universe because they not only know God's Word, they know God of the Word. They know Him. He's in their heart. They haven't just taken His Word as reading material. They've taken it as studying material. They haven't only taken it as studying material. They have taken it as, how can I apply this to my life? Oh, so often we've got lots of people that can quote scriptures, but they don't know how to take the scripture and make it personal to their lives. And the Holy Ghost wrote this book, not so we could have reading material, but so that our lives might be turned into the image of Jesus Christ. That we might move from glory to glory, that I might be more like Jesus with every passing day. Hallelujah! I'm going to jump down to the conclusion. Listen, the blood of Jesus can have control over any service that I'm trying to conduct. We must have a heart to follow God's Word. All that He said. That's why we're going to, on Wednesday night, we're going to do the teachings of Jesus that no, hardly any, listen to me, any Protestant churches do not do the teachings of Jesus because they're way too strict, they're way too difficult. We just read one today that I won't get in. This morning we read Matthew chapter 19. There's stuff in there like we go, God's Word, the great authority, not mine authority, not your authority, not the government's authority, not the heads of corporations, but God's authority is in His Word. Our culture has looked in so many directions for answers. And yet their answers lie before them in God's Word. Don't tell me you just got saved and you're not interested in God's Word. You're not saved yet. When you get saved, you'll get an interest in this. My father-in-law was a semi-educated man. He had some college in him. I think he went to college to drink milkshakes, but I'm not positive. He made sure he did plenty of that. But I wouldn't call Jim Carrey a reader. He would read up on cows and what they could do and so forth, some stats and that kind of thing. But he would never read. You'd never catch Jim sitting down and reading a book, except for one. And my father-in-law made sure. You ever seen Jim's Bible? The big old fat thing. But he had opened, and it was all marked up. I think he must have learned it from like my Grandpa Davis, who had a sixth grade education. But he had a marked up Bible. Hallelujah. He had a marked up Bible. I have one of them in my possession. Bibles that are marked up. Anyways, look, you don't have to be a reader. You have to be a wanter of God. I don't read well. So you don't read well. The Lord will help you. I don't understand what I'm reading. Then read it again. Then the third time, say, Holy Spirit, I need you to show me here what I'm reading. Don't tell me you can't understand the Scriptures. Because Scriptures are spiritually discerned. Not intellectually discerned, but spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can understand ye must be born again. John chapter 3. You can understand that. You can witness to somebody else. Guaranteed they don't know as much about the Bible as you do, and you might know only one Scripture verse. This word is for me. And it's for you. This word, 100,000 years from now, will still be true and valid. It's not just for today. It's for yesterday, today, into eternity future. And furthermore, this word will not change. It won't change for a culture. It won't change for a government. It won't change for an earthly king. It won't change for you. It's the same. It's the rock. It's the stable thing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. When the heavens are folded up like a vesture and the earth is melted down again, at the end of the day, the Word of God will stand. What in your life today are you lacking the Word of God in? Where do you need to apply the Word of God? What situation that you're in that's saying, listen, I've listened to all this advice from the right and from the left and all of these people, but I need to know what God has to say about it. And instead of calling the pastor and asking him to tell you, get your own Bible, get it on your pad, get it on your phone, or open it up a paper Bible and get your nose in it and say, God, show me here in your Word. I don't know where to start. Start. That's where you start. Just start. If you like the Psalm, start in the Psalm. If you like the Gospel, start in the Gospel. Because it's all of God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Word. Oh, glory to God. I'm done. Tim, come give them hope. I'm done, but God's Word's not. God's Word's not done. It's powerful unto salvation. A young Jewish girl went to college. Orthodox Jewish family. Both her parents were Jewish. They went to synagogue. Were faithful in it. Her father was a wealthy insurance man. She went to college and she made friends with somebody, and that girl made friends with her. And her friend took her to this meeting, and it was a bunch of Christian young ladies that got together and studied the Bible. She didn't even know what the Bible was. This young lady said, "What's a Bible?" She says, "Well, it has your people's history in it." So what are you talking about? Well, your history is on this part, and then the rest of the history is at that part. So she kept going back to what we would call a Bible study, the young lady Bible study, and about the fourth time, she says, "Who is this Jesus person you keep reading about?" He says, "Well, he's your Messiah. How do you know he's a Messiah?" And they began to open the Word of God to her. He says, "Well, why isn't he my Messiah?" And they said, "All you have to do is make him your Messiah. Just believe on him. Like we know, repent of your sins." And all. He said, "He will take all my sins away. He'll take all your sins away." And there in the Bible study, she knelt down by a chair and she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. She confessed her sins. She repented of her sins and asked the perfect blood of the Lamb of God to cover her sins and take them away. And he did it. The rest of the semester now, they're and she's got all kinds of questions and they're answering them out of the Bible. And she goes home for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever. She goes home. And she walks in the house and her parents know that she's awful happy. "Oh, you must love school." "I love school. It's great. But Mom and Dad, I've got to tell you something. Maybe you didn't know. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. Did you know that?" Dad goes, "Oh, no. I knew we shouldn't have sent her to college." And they tried to convince Jesus out of her. But let me tell you, once you've got Jesus, the real Jesus in here, even a mom and dad can't convince you of otherwise. They tried to be patient with her. The more they were patient, the more she told them of what she had studied in God's Word. "See, it's right here, right there, and there it is." And so Dad says, listen, honey, I love you, but you're all wrong on this. And what I'm going to do, you go back to school in January. I'm going to take a sabbatical from my work. I'm going to take 3 months. I'm going to buy one of your Bibles, and I'm going to prove to you how wrong you are. He got him a legal notepad, and he sat the Bible on his left, and he began to write down all the controversies, all that was wrong with the New Testament. How it wasn't accurate, how was it wrong, da, 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 da. And now he's filling up his notepad, but the problem is he keeps reading the Word over and over again. He keeps reading it to make notes. And this is a true story, friend. About a month and a half in, about middle of February, while he's doing his project, the Spirit of God moves into his study. And he feels the heaviness of his sin. He goes, oh no. Oh no. And as he's studying the book of Mark, he says, he is who my daughter said. He is the one. He is. He has power to forgive me of my sins. Secretly with nobody around. He bows his head and says, all right, if this is true, I'll receive you as my Savior. He went back to his study. He threw his old notepad away. He got a new notepad out. And he began to write how glorious and wonderful things are in Jesus. He's scared to death. He cannot let his wife know. Going to be bad. Going to be bad. Just before spring break, he finally gets up enough courage. They're sitting at a kitchen table opposite one another. And he's trying to brush tears from his eyes. He said, honey, I love you, but I've got to tell you something. She said, if you'd wait just a minute. She's openly weeping in front of him. She goes, I love you too. But during these last couple months, I'm remembering what my daughter said. And I'm sorry if you want to divorce me, okay. But what our daughter said is true. And I accepted Jesus as my Savior. He said, what? She goes, I'm sorry. He said, don't be sorry. That's what I was going to tell you. The power of the Word of God. If you can't reach somebody, tell them, why don't you just start reading the Word? Start reading the Bible. Go ahead. It's so powerful. It'll get them. It'll get them. It'll get them. Hallelujah. Oh, when that young lady came home from spring break, she didn't go to Florida. What a time they had in that same kitchen, praising Jesus together. Would you stand together with me? Lord, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, in the places in our lives where we have not applied it, where we've applied our own wisdom, our own intellect, our own knowledge to things that the word needs to be applied to, give us the wisdom to do that. Lord, never let us be slack in hearing the word. May it become so precious to us that everything else not only becomes secondary, but thirdly and fourthly, that your word, you're speaking to me. We love to speak to you in prayer, but you also speak to us. Lord, we need to hear you speak to us. Lord, for those that are struggling here in this building this morning, Lord, we apply the word of God to it. Show us where to read. Show us the verses that apply to this thing, Lord. Let us become students of your word that we might know you. And in knowing your word, we might know you. And have the ability to apply that word to my life. To resist temptation. To resist the devil's lies. That I would never be deceived by the counterfeit, because I know the truth. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come.
convict every one of us that we might know Your Word that much better in our lives. Hallelujah. If there is anyone here this morning that doesn't know Your Word, they don't know the Jesus of the Bible. They don't know that He offers the salvation. He's the only one true offerer of real salvation. Help every one of them to know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. Lord God, set it in our hearts like cement. The Word of God is true today and forevermore. It is true.